Good morning, and may it please the court. We're here today on a tax revenue case to determine whether my client, Mumtaz Zilani, was justly taxed for sales that he made of tobacco products known as OTP, other tobacco products that are not cigarettes. Under the law, the first person to make a sale of those tobacco products is required to pay the state tax. We're here because my client, Mr. Lalani, was not the first seller of tobacco products. It was taxed as the first seller. Additionally, I will go over the statutes to clarify that further, but I'd also like to point out that in the event that the statute were to be construed as to require Mr. Lalani to pay the tax, it would result in a constitutional violation for lack of proper notice for him to adequately know his rights, responsibilities, and liabilities. Now, this case is taken from the Administrative Hearing Commission, and the commission did find that my client is responsible for tax sales that he made from 2009 to 2011. That's based on Missouri Statute 149.160. Taken in isolation, the statute is quite clear. A tax is levied on the first sale within the state of Missouri, and the amount of the tax is 10% of the manufacturer's invoice price. Now, the commission states in its own opinion that Mr. Lalani was not, in actuality, the first purchaser of the tobacco. But we do go on further to other definitions contained within Chapter 149. That does make the issue somewhat more murky. The first seller, the first sale of tobacco occurs when the first person makes the sale to a retailer of tobacco. Now, as I've explained in my brief, Mr. Lalani had an interesting business model. It was unusual in that he was a middleman of sorts. He was not a wholesaler of tobacco, did not buy tobacco directly from a manufacturer, but was rather a runner, made very marginal profits going directly to the wholesaler and then bringing those OTP products to other convenience stores and grocery stores in the area, essentially to save them a trip, and he would make minimal profit on those. So when you look at this second part of the definition, someone who sells to a retailer, that does complicate the issue because it then appears that he is the first person to have made the sale to an actual retailer. But there are several problems with that. First of all, the amount of the tax that is to be paid is 10% of the manufacturer's original invoice price. Mr. Lalani never bought any tobacco products from a manufacturer. He has no idea what the original invoice price is.
Opposing counsel argues in his reply brief that, well, that wasn't a problem for you when it was out-of-state sales. That was the same thing. You had to pay 10% of the manufacturer's retail price the manufacturer's price, and didn't seem to present a problem with your finding that out. Why is it now?
In the first instance, that was, frankly, it was not challenged, and I think part of the
But it's clear that you do have to, that people do have to pay. Companies do have to pay 10% of the manufacturer's price, so the legislature intends that.
Right.
So you're saying it's invalid for everybody in state or out of state because you can't find that information, or do you just have to ask?
I think that in order to be responsible for the manufacturer's invoice price, you have to have some connection with that transaction. You have to be a party to that transaction to know what that amount is.
But if I understand it, you wouldn't have if you bought out of state. That's why you were buying in state.
Right, and that.
So it'd be the same problem for those sales.
It would be the same problem for those sales, as I understand it. And the
did you pay the tax in those instances?
Mr. Lamani did not pay tax before in those, and that was due to ignorance of the law, and he got in some trouble before. And as we'll get into in just a little while, he actually reached out to the director's office for help in complying with the law in the future. And
but it wouldn't be that hard to figure out what the manufacturer's price is at a certain particular day. And actually, the manufacturer's price would be cheaper than the wholesale price, because you assume the wholesaler is tacking on some profit themselves. The cheapest price would be from the manufacturer or the for tobacco, wherever they get the tobacco.
Right. But what we have here is essentially a situation where that amount may be less, but the purchases made by Mr. Lalani from this wholesaler involve one receipt that says taxes are included in the price, and the wholesaler is responsible for that tax because they are a party to the transaction with the manufacturer.
But they're not the wholesaler. Can you address the argument that the wholesaler sells to you, not to the store that then sells at retail? And so under the statute, if it's the first person making a sale within the state to someone who's going to sell to consumers, is the one who pays the tax, and the retailer sells to you. You're not simply a conduit as a jobber, but you actually buy it and resell it.
That is true, but within Chapter 149, the statute actually defines wholesaler as an organization that intends to sell to retailers. And so by definition, by operating as a licensed wholesaler, it's the intent that's the issue. And so it was Rock Bottom Wholesale, from which Mr. Lalani bought the OTP, that was the first party with the intent of selling to retailers. And that's been how it's worked with Mr. Lalani in all of his other purchases, say from Sam's or Unique Distributors, which were other places that paid their taxes. Because as the law is written, as licensed wholesalers, that is part of who they are. They are assumed to be selling. They are presumed to be selling to.
And where does it say that a licensed wholesaler is presumed by the law to be selling to a retailer?
Well, in defining a wholesaler in 149.011, this is Section 18. The loss and part of the definition is that the wholesaler purchases the cigarettes directly from the manufacturer and comes into the possession of cigarettes or tobacco products for the purpose of selling them to retailers or to persons outside or within the state who might resell or retail the cigarettes. That's so, part of the definition itself,
right.
Who the wholesaler is.
The definition includes four clauses or phrases that are separated by semicolons and are connected by an and. So it talks about that they are primarily in business to sell cigarettes or tobacco products to retailers, but it also says that purchases cigarettes or tobacco products directly from the manufacturer.
Right.
So it has a limitation on the wholesaler, even though it has the other definition that benefits you. Part of the definition that benefits you, it has part that does not.
And I do understand that, Judge. Part of what, because there are a semicolon and, these are all parts of what a wholesaler must be, and in order to be the first sale within the state, intent is part of the rule. It's intent to sell the products to people at retail. That's part and parcel to what a wholesaler is. That's what they do, just as Sam's Club did with Mr. Lalani's purchases, just as Unique Distributors did.
And the people you bought from are wholesalers, but why? But when they're selling to you and you're the intermediate jobber, why is it that they would pay the tax instead of you?
Because that is part and parcel to their operation. They're operating to sell to people, treating them as
But it says retailers. To retailers or to persons outside or within the state who might resell or retail the cigarettes. So a wholesaler
right.
is anticipated to either sell directly or to stores that will sell to consumers or to sell to an intermediary. And it even mentions jobbers and brokers.
Right.
That makes them a wholesaler, but why does it make them responsible for the tax instead of you when you're the one who sells it to the retailer?
Well, they're the only party that is part of the contract upon which the tax is based. Otherwise, we have to rely on, for example, the wholesaler. Wholesaler, tell me what discounts you got. Tell me what your actual manufacturer's invoice price was. Show that to me so that I can comply with my requirements to the state. Now, there's nothing in the law saying that the wholesaler has to do that. You just have to trust in the this other wholesaler to give you accurate information.
But you agree that if you buy from an out-of-state wholesaler, then that's the law?
I would actually challenge that based on some of the ambiguities within the statute itself. However, that is more likely because when you look at the very simple language for sale, there you have that. I would like to mention also very quickly that the manufacturer's invoice price, as that is defined, also mentions that is the price to a distributor, wholesaler, or first seller, also contemplating that there must be a relationship, contractual relationship between the first seller, whoever that is, and that other entity. And I,
thank you, counsel. You'll have time on rebuttal.
All right. Thank you, Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, and may it please the court.
You may proceed.
This is a case of straightforward statutory interpretation. As Mr. Demerol said, the statute in this case is quite clear on its face. The tax of 10% is levied against the person who makes the first sale within the state. That term is defined in the statute as the first sale by a manufacturer, wholesaler, or other person to a person who intends to sell at retail. Now, there's no dispute that Mr. Lalani sold to someone who intends to sell at retail. In fact, he is the only person in the chain of commerce of the other tobacco products we're talking about in this case that did sell to a retailer, which means if he is not responsible for the first sale, there is no first sale and no one owns the tax.
Well, his argument is that wholesalers from whom he buys also sell directly to retailers, and the statute therefore intends them to pay the tax.
It would on the sales that they make to retailers, but none of the sales in this case were directly to retailers. They sold to Mr. Lalani, who was a jobber, and then he sold to the retailers. So I don't read the statute as imposing the tax on a category of person regardless of who they sell to.
How's he supposed to know how much tax to pay when he doesn't know what the wholesaler from whom he buys it, how much they pay to the manufacturer?
He can ask.
And what if they don't want him to know what their price is from the wholesaler?
Well, then he doesn't have to buy from them. I mean, part of a condition of his sale from the wholesaler is that they tell him what the manufacturer's price is. If they're unwilling to tell him, and he knows he's going to be subject to a tax based on that number, you shouldn't go through with the sale.
Are there other tax statutes other than the tobacco products statute that require you to pay a tax on a figure that you don't have, that's not part of your transaction?
I'm not aware of any.
That seems unusual. that the basis for computing a tax would be a figure that has nothing to do with your transaction.
I think it is somewhat unusual. I don't know off the top of my head of another statute that calculates the term in that way. But I think that the onus is on the person engaging in this transaction to know the information that he's going to be taxed about. If he doesn't know it, he should find it out before he enters into the sale.
How long has this statute been in effect, and have there been prior cases dealing with this issue and how you've determined the tax, or prior problems that have been reflected in the case law or administrative law?
I'm not aware of any that on this particular issue. I know there have been other cases involving who made the first sale. In fact, Mr. Lalani himself was involved in a prior case in which he didn't pay the tax. The director assessed a lien against him, and he eventually resolved that case, as Your Honor said, by he settled that case and paid some amount of the tax based on a sale he made from a wholesaler out of state. There's nothing in the record to indicate that he had any better knowledge of what the manufacturer's invoice price was in that case than there is in this one, and yet he was able to pay the tax in that case after the director asked him to do so.
Did the Department of Revenue treat his transactions for these purchases differently than it treated his other transactions, for example, purchases from Sam's Club, that Sam's Club paid the tax?
It did in one sense, Your Honor, and that is that the transactions from Sam's Club, someone had paid the tax. Sam's Club already paid the tax.
Right, but he owed the tax, not them, if we accept the director's position.
The director's position is the tax was paid. The director wasn't going to go after someone who should have paid the tax when the tax has already been paid by someone else. However, they agreed to pay the tax between himself and Sam's is their business as long as the tax is paid.
But Sam's Club probably doesn't voluntarily just go out and pay taxes it doesn't owe, so there's something about the statutes that made it believe that it owed these taxes.
Most likely, and there's nothing in the record to suggest this exactly, but most likely since Sam's Club is also a retailer and Mr. Lalani went there to buy cigarettes, he probably assumed that he was a consumer.
How about unique distributors?
I think the same situation is in effect there. They paid the tax. They're in a...
Are they a retailer?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, actually. I don't think that they are a retailer, but they are typically in this business of selling to retailers, and as a matter of course, they probably pay the tax. This was an unusual situation in which the arrangements with Rock Bottom were such that the tax wasn't paid there, and Mr. Lalani says he wasn't aware of that and thought that the tax had been paid. But that doesn't change the wording of the statute. The statute is clear that you have to be the person who sells to a person at retail. You also have to be a manufacturer, wholesaler, or other person. Now, there's obviously no dispute that he's not a manufacturer. The question is whether he is a wholesaler or other person. The definition of wholesaler is also defined, and in the last sentence of the definition, it says, this shall include any manufacturer, jobber, broker, agent, or other person, whether or not enumerated in this chapter, who so sells and so distributes cigarettes or the tobacco products. Mr. Lalani is both a licensed wholesaler and, in this case, a jobber, and falls within that definition. But even if he didn't fall in that definition, he is also an other person. The first part of the statute is very broad. The person itself is defined in the statute as any individual, corporation, firm, partnership, incorporated or unincorporated association, or any other legal or commercial entity. I don't think there's any dispute that Mr. Lalani does not fall into that group. His claim is that you have to read that third category along with the other two and see that it is one of the same kind of thing. It has to be limited in the same way that wholesaler or manufacturer is. In fact, he contends it can only be a wholesaler or manufacturer. But if that were the case, there'd be no reason to include other person because wholesaler and manufacturer are already enumerated. As I said, he is the only person who sold to a person at retailer, sold to a person who intends to sell at retail. He is the only person that can be responsible for the tax in this case. Now, Mr. Damrell mentioned that There's an issue here of lack of notice, but again, I would point out that Mr. Lalani is familiar with this statute. He violated it once before, had to go through this process with the Director of Revenue once before, and paid the tax then. He paid that tax ultimately, had the same concerns that he does this time about not knowing the manufacturer's invoice price, and yet he still paid the tax then. So I don't see how the lack of notice really matters here. And in any event, the statute is clear on its face, as Mr. O'Damerill said. I'm happy to entertain any other questions you have, but if not, I can sit down.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Opposing counsel makes a good point. You make the point in your brief that Sam's Club and the other company that you purchased from paid the tax, but if you're going to be tax-free there, you have to give them a letter that shows you're a charitable organization or non-taxable, and I presume also if you're going to be reselling it. Is there anything in the record showing that they had any reason to know that you would be reselling it as opposed to just purchasing?
No, Your Honor. There's nothing in the record as far as that goes. Neither is there anything in the record with respect to the purchases from Rock Bottom Wholesale that did not pay its tax. I would also like to point out something that opposing counsel did bring up, which is that a first seller is defined as a wholesaler, manufacturer, or other person. Reading in other person as broadly as you can is problematic here, because then we have to assume that the legislature used superfluous verbiage here. Why on earth would they even mention wholesaler or manufacturer if all you need to say is person?
Well, why would they mention person if all you needed was wholesaler or manufacturer?
Because they want, from the chapter as a whole, they want to include anyone who operates in fact as a wholesaler or manufacturer.
And your client had a wholesaler's license and calls itself a jobber, so.
He did, but what he did not do is have any direct involvement with the manufacturer, which is actually part of the definition, operating definition that we go to here with the manufacturer's invoice price is something that is given to a first sailor, if not
everything kind of comes down to that, to not knowing the manufacturer's price. It seems like that's really the heart of all your arguments.
Well, it's that and no right to know the manufacturer's invoice price, to have the onus put on them to rely on the honesty of someone that you do business with in order to keep you out of trouble with the state.
Is there anything in the record in this case that you sought to find the price Rock Bottom Wholesale wouldn't provide it to you?
No, Judge, that is, frankly, that's something that my client had no idea he would need to be concerned with.
Hasn't shown in this record that he couldn't comply with that requirement?
No. He's not shown that he did not ask. What we don't know is whether Rock Bottom would, in fact, have been honest with him, or what right he would have to a full and honest response. I do see my time is up.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Matter taken under submission.
Appreciate it.